Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
What's up, dykes? It's Carolyn here again to intro another episode of Love's a Pitch, which is my new podcast that I have over on another feed. So you're still listening to the Dyking Out feed here. For a bit, I'm going to be just teasing these Love's a Pitch episodes. The one that is about to play a preview of, it's with somebody who I've talked about a bunch on the Dyking Out podcast in the past year. It's one of my favorite burlesque dancers in New York City, Ruby Quinn, and it was so fun to sit down and have a conversation with her about what it's like to date as a burlesque dancer and what's the difference between her onstage and offstage personas and personality. It's a really fun discussion, and we've had some great guests so far. I've recorded a bunch more episodes that I have in the bag. A mix of comedians and writers and performers, but we're soon going to get to our, should I call them normies? Normal people. People who aren't performers who have submitted to be on the podcast. That's right. You can do that too. There is a link in the show notes. If you go over, well, go to the show notes here, and there's a link to Love's a Pitch. Go find that feed, go to the episodes there, and then you will find the links for everything you need to know about the show. You'll be able to apply to be a guest where you can talk to me about, you know, what you're looking for, what you hope to find, what are some issues you've had in the past, what's stopping you from finding what you want, and really just bragging about yourself, letting all the listeners know why you're a catch, and I'll help give you that extra boost that you need. And, you know, past guests are already telling me people are sliding into their DMs. I'm just trying to advance the gay agenda here, and I need you to help me do that. I need you to listen to this podcast or tell people who you think might like to listen to this podcast. You don't have to be single to listen to it. You can listen on behalf of other people you know. You can listen just to learn and be kind of a voyeur as to, you know, what's going on in the queer dating world right now. I'm getting guests of all different sexualities, different places on the gender spectrum. It's been very interesting. I'm really proud of it, and I hope, please give it a listen. With that, now we're going to get into a preview of an episode that I put out with Ruby Quinn. I think you're going to like it. Check it out. You're listening to Love's a Pitch, featuring yet another babe from the queer community who is going to tell you why they're a catch and then let me grill them about all things love and dating, and hopefully I don't trigger any past trauma. I'm your host, Carolyn Bergier. I hope you've all been enjoying the podcast so far because I'm having a lot of fun with these conversations. Please tell your friends about it. Post about it on Lex. Go to @lovesapitch on Instagram and flirt in the comments. Join the Patreon so we can all overthink our love lives together. And please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts to combat any one-star reviews from homophobes and haters. Before we get to our guest today, a related thing. This past Sunday, I went to Sinful Sundays at the historic Stonewall Inn in the West Village in New York. And Sinful Sundays is a show, an event. It's every other week, and it's put on by Honey Burlesque. And that's relevant because our guest today is a Honey Burlesque dancer. I had so much fun. I mean, I've been to these before and they always are a great time. I always describe it to people as like chill queer strip club vibes. It's on Sunday. It starts at 4:00. Everybody's hanging out and then the dancers come out and everybody is just having such a good time and nobody's being a creep, hopefully. Usually it's a great crowd for that. So I recommend if you're in New York, check it out, follow Honey Burlesque and go support their events. They hire all queer dancers. It's so much fun. All right. With that being said, I'm so excited for this interview. I can't wait for you to meet this guest. So let's just get right into it. I am here with the fabulous Ruby Quinn. Ruby, how are you?
I'm so good. I'm so good. I'm so excited to be on this podcast with you. This is exciting.
Yes. You know, I always thought we would dyke out together, but this is like just as good, right?
Yeah. I mean, I get time with you, so I'm happy.
Yeah. Some of our listeners who were also listeners of Dyking Out, you might remember me mentioning Ruby as part of Honey Burlesque, which is a queer burlesque group in New York City. And they do stuff in LA too and perform at a lot of events in queer spaces and queer parties and all that sort of stuff. So that's how we met was, I think on Halloween, you were dancing at a Hot Rabbit event. And then the next day I went to Stonewall. And then that's where we actually met. And I was like, who is this person? I must know.
That was a great day. I remember because it was so busy there too. And it was my first time performing at Stonewall? I think it was like one of the first times I'd ever performed there too. So it was like super exciting. I just remember seeing you with your pink hair and being like, oh my God, Carolyn's out there. Like, yeah, not 2 years ago. No, like a year and some change.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like a lot longer. But anyway, let's just get into it. First, before you get into your pitch, how do you identify?
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I am a queer, she, they, Brooklyn baby. I am polyamorous. I am also pansexual. No gender is safe from me. Yeah, that's who I am.
When you say Brooklyn baby, is that the same as like Taylor Swift saying she feels like people are sexy babies? Are Brooklyn babies and sexy babies same things or different things?
Well, we hate T-Swifty. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I cannot. I never been able.
Coming out of the gates being super controversial here.
I feel like a lot of the girlies are like, no, she's gay. Like, we're waiting for her to come out. And I just don't trust her. I just have never trusted her. I'm like, snake. Sorry.
Fair. All right. Well, Swifties listening, before you stop this episode, let's at least let Ruby pitch herself.
Right.
Go for it. What? Why are you a catch?
Okay. I am a catch. I know I'm a lot to catch, though. like, you know, you reel in the fish and you're like, this is going to be great. And then you get the fish on the boat and you're like, what did I just do? But I'm a good catch because, listen, I believe in adventures. I'm like such a hopeless romantic at heart, but it takes me a long time to like let someone in because I'm just like, because people are people. I don't trust them. I feel like I'm pretty open-minded and I really try, like, you know, being poly, like you have to be communicative and you have to be open with, you know, all of your partners else. It's just not going to work and it's going to harbor dishonesty. So I think I'm pretty honest and I'm upfront with what I want. I'm a burlesque dancer. I don't know. Like, that's sexy to watch your partner, you know, do some. I feel like I'm not selling myself. I feel people are like in their head. They're like, yeah. And I really like the outdoors. I'm a country babe. You know, I want to serenade you under the stars. I want to do stupid, cheesy stuff together. I don't know. Hopeless romantic.
So, as a burlesque dancer, do you feel like that's a place where you end up meeting a lot of people that you end up dating? Or is that a place you want to avoid meeting people that you end up dating?
I feel like when I started, I was like, yes, I'm so excited to meet people here. Like, this is the best way to meet people in my sexy element. But then I realized, I was like, oh, no, like, that's not a good idea because yeah, people are attracted to like your persona who like, you know, is part of you, but isn't you all the time.
Right.
I realized just very quickly, I was like, oh, no, this is not. So I don't really like if someone tries to ask me out while I'm dancing, I'm just like, oh, boy, I can't do it. I'm sorry. I just can't. So I don't do the apps anymore. Like, I really try to meet people in person just because like, I don't trust apps. Like, I want to make sure I meet you in a place that like I know that we already are both attracted to because we have similar wants, interests. So I meet if I meet someone after the show, you know, and I'm staying around, we're talking, that's great, you know. But yeah, definitely not trying to like have someone whisper in my ear like while I'm dancing, like, I want to take you out to dinner. I'm like, don't do that.
Yeah,
just give me money now.
Slide their number into your
yeah or like the slide in. Oh my gosh, I literally they slid into my DMs and they're like, I'm usually not attracted to performers, but I really just am so into you. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, that's supposed to make me feel good? And I see them at events all the time now and I'm just like, mm-hmm. When I was seeing this one girl she was like in her friend group. And I was just like, I'm never going to tell anyone what you said to me, but I know what you said to me. Anyways.
That just reminds me of sometimes people are like, normally I don't like female comedians, but you were really funny. I'm like,
oh my God. You're like, wow, that's literally, you just outed yourself as a sexist.
Yeah.
As a misogynist.
But I feel like that performer thing, it's like, oh, your type, usually not for me. Like, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, is that great?
Yeah, you don't like talent?
I do get it because, like, it is challenging, I feel like, to date someone who takes their clothes off for a living, you know?
Yeah.
It can be challenging because some people get really jealous. And it's like, it's my work. It's not me. And I just, the jealousy, like, the number one thing I just cannot stand is jealousy. Like, I can't do it. I can't do it.
And if that could never work. Do you feel like you encounter a lot of people who say they're not jealous, or they try to like convince themselves that they're not jealous, but then like have constantly jealous behavior?
Yes. Or like even they're like, oh, it's totally fine. But then they see like you dance on someone and then they're like, well, what about that? Or like, you know, sometimes, you know, I work at like a sex club and like this one, it's my friend. So like I kissed her in the performance. Like I also do a bunch of performances where like at the box, I'm in a number with all my friends and we're like making out on stage. And someone who I was seeing was like, well, I saw in this video you were making out with them. I was like, well, yeah, I don't know. It's my job. Like,
yeah,
friend. I don't know. You don't kiss your friends. Maybe don't. But I think friends should kiss each other more.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. A friendly kiss. Everyone loves that.
As long as it's all consensual and not weird.
You've probably heard the name Mary, Queen of Scots, and maybe you know the importance of her legacy to the British monarchy, but how much do you know about her life and what she was really like? For instance, did you know that she preferred to have her eggs scrambled, or that giving gifts was her love language? In my podcast, Vulgar History, we'll be talking about all that and more during an 8-part miniseries about the fascinating life of Mary, Queen of Scots. Vulgar History is a feminist women's history comedy podcast where we don't shy away from the messy, complicated lives of women from the olden times. Particularly with women in history, it's easier to use broad strokes to portray who they were, and it's like we forget they probably also had messy lives, complicated relationships, and maybe things weren't as black and white as they might seem in a textbook. But I'm dedicated to sharing the sides of the stories we don't always hear, and each episode is supported by rigorous historical research. Turns out there's really something about Mary, Queen of Scots. So be sure to tune into my series about Mary, Queen of Scots, and check out the other incredible women I've talked about while you're there. You can listen and subscribe to Vulgar History wherever you get your podcasts, and learn more at vulgarhistory.com.